If you'll turn to Revelation 1:18, this will be, I'll read this out of the King James. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Well, what does this mean? He has the keys to what? The gates of hell? I mean, this is where all the bad people, as mainstream Christians say, go. Or does he have, or does he let some out on good behavior like we do with our prison system? Or is it the same thing as the keys to the city? I mean, if you're a famous ball player, actor, or musician, politician, you may get keys to your own city or one that you've performed in. So let me read a printout of the keys to the city. Someone had asked, did the keys to the city open anything? And they said the short answer is no. But the long answer is, once upon a time, being presented with the key to the city served a real function. In ancient times, when it was common for European towns to be ringed by walls, visiting dignitaries were presented with a key to the city gate as a gesture of trust and kindness. These particular visitors could come and go as they pleased, with the assumption that they wouldn't be returning with a militia to lay siege on the city. Today's gesture is presenting keys as similar in a sentiment, if not function, and sometimes not surprising, it's just a PR stunt. And they give a little list of some of the people who got keys to the city. Cher got one in a town in Australia. But they were pretty angry because that key got sold for $96,000 on eBay. And she got it in 1990 for performing at a Formula One Grand Prix race there. Well, she responded to the backlash saying, I'm upset too and trying to get to the bottom. I think my office messed up. That's the watered down version of what she really said. Then it says, members of the 3-6 Mafia have keys to the city of Memphis. So apparently you don't have to have too high of standards to get the key in Memphis. And of course the Jackson 5 have the keys to their hometown, Gary, Indiana. And I was talking to a couple people a couple weeks ago about Detroit giving a key to the city out. Of course, Detroit deserves to be bankrupt, not just because they've been led by liberals since the 1950s, but 1980, this person made a sizable donation to a church. I heard it was hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it wasn't a Christian church, I can guarantee that. And he's dead now. He was actually executed. And the city he was over, he probably had keys to everything. All the buildings, probably all everybody's houses. And that was Baghdad. So yeah, Saddam Hussein got the keys to Detroit in 1980. So again, it's not too hard to get the keys in Detroit either. Well, if you got a lot of money, I guess. So what is it about Revelation 1:18? What is it talking about? The definition of the key can be a metal object that locks or unlocks, or an explanation to supply a solution, such as a key to a riddle, or a key points to leadership. I want to read a little printout I got from our own website. And it says, the Bible uses a key as a symbol of authority. In Isaiah 22:22, we see Eliakim, the priest, receiving the key to the houses of David on his shoulder. Uses similar symbolism in Revelation 3:7. A trusted servant to the king wore the key to the king's house on a hook on his shoulder. Therefore, he had the authority to open or close the king's house. What this is actually pointing to is God has the authority over the grave. Because hell in the scripture in the King James Version comes from Hades, which just means the grave. And that's what it's saying, God has the authority over the grave. Well, I have three examples of this authority over death and the grave. If you'll turn to Job 14. Job 14, verses 14 and 15. I'll just read part of 15. But it says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. Verse 15. You shall call, and I will answer you. And here, Job even knows that God can resurrect the dead in the grave. He's just waiting for it, for that day to come. And if you'll turn to John 11, another story of having authority over the grave. John 11, starting 11. John 11:11. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest and sleep. Then verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Then we'll pick it back up in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. But Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection and the last day. Which is true. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And then we'll pick it back up in verse 38. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days now. And Jesus said to her, I did not say to you that if you would believe, you would see. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? In verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said to him, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So here, after 4 days of being dead, Jesus could still raise up Lazarus. Then the last example, You don't need to turn there, but it's in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. This was Ezekiel's vision. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. In verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. In verse 9, also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from the graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So there's three examples of God having the authority over the grave. It is not a key like to a gate. We're not talking about a hellfire ending punishment. This is talking about having authority over the grave and death. And this authority was not given to Peter, which is a whole nother sermonette. He will resurrect each of us in our own time, and judgment will be rendered.